Okay, I'm gonna try to take care of some of these in a quick way, and if you're not satisfied, see me later. Yeah. Okay. There's no particular order here. What should you do when you lose the enjoyment of Christ? Well, I always, when I hear that, the first thing I think about, there's a book called The Economy of God. And in that book, there's a chapter I wish you would read. It's called Digging the Inward Parts. Is that right? Something like that? Anyway, to me, it's classic. And it basically just, it basically tells you, there was an example in the Old Testament where Jacob's well had to be dug. There was water there flowing beneath the well, but there was dirt in the well. So there's no water flowing. And so there's the need for us sometimes to spend time with the Lord to kind of dig. Spend time in His presence to dig away the dirt. And because the dirt comes, you know, you can your life can get really complicated. You can be very busy. And next thing you know, there's dirt all over the place in your being. And he, in this chapter, he refers to different parts of our being that need to be dug. And one of them is your mind. Sometimes there's things that just get into our thinking, and it stays there, and it keeps coming back. And what we need to do is, in the Lord's presence before Him, Lord, you know, give our mind to the Lord and ask the Lord to dig away the dirt that's in your thinking. The other is maybe even in your emotions. Maybe there's things you love, and you just have to deal with the Lord about, Lord, my love. There may be things in the world. There may be things you don't even realize until you get into the Lord's presence. All of a sudden, you see something. Lord, you're dealing with your heart. You're digging the inward parts of your heart before the Lord just to see, Lord, what is frustrating the flowing? There's no problem with the Lord flowing. He wants to flow. He's there. He's a fountain within. But we've got dirt. And so we just need to spend time with the Lord, turning to the Lord, asking the Lord to really show me, you know, what needs to be dealt with. And then we just let the Lord identify it, shine on it, and then just repent. Trust the blood and go on. And usually when you get into the Lord's presence like that, the Lord will show you something. He'll shine in a certain way. It may be something of your emotions. It may be something of your love. It may be your choices. Maybe there's some things in your life you've just been choosing something again and again, and it's a habit. And the Lord touches you. Those choices, they're killing you. They're stopping the flow. They're dirtying up the well. Your heart is just full of dirt. And so the Lord just dig in the Lord's presence. Does that make sense? Till you find out, until you touch the water. You know, go in a certain direction. Aim at the Lord. You know, maybe at your thinking. You know, Lord, my thoughts, my thought life. Lord, I repent. You know, I know it's short. It's not the mind of Christ. And if there's something there, if there's nothing there, the Lord doesn't shine, then go to another part of your being. Go to your love for things. Go to your will and your choices. And of course, you know, don't just let it go. Dig until the Lord flows. There's a flowing and an enjoyment. When you spend time like this, by the time you get through and just talking to the Lord and confessing certain things, every time you confess a little something, you have the sense something's beginning to flow. There's a trickle. And then you just keep on until you sense the Lord's really flowing in your being and there's an enjoyment of Him, flowing of Him. Okay? Amen. Okay, instead of creating the perfect God-man race that expresses God and satisfies Him fully and completely, why did God allow Satan to run free and corrupt His creation, cause men to fall? Well, that was a question that's posed to me, and there may be a lot of different answers that you could give. I remember one time I was young, and someone asked me something like this, and I really didn't know what to say, but I got something just kind of immediately from the Lord, and I thought it was pretty good, and so I use it a lot. And it basically, I remembered the matter of chess. You know, chess is a game of between two people to determine who's the real master here. strategy, and who's really the smart one here, and who can, you know, it gives you opportunity to show how wise you are. And you know, I have two older brothers, and they used to always make me play chess, and I hated it because they always beat me. And so you asked me to play chess, and I have scars, you know, where they call me a stupid idiot or something, you know. But I always try my best, and they just made me look bad. Well, they were the masters at that. Well, in another way, in another sense, you realize that the whole, you know, the Lord, he is so marvelous. But you know what? To show how wise you are, you really need an opponent. You know, it's like the enemy has been used by Satan has been used by the Lord for the Lord to display how wise he is. You know, everything the enemy has done, the Lord has, anything the Lord wanted to do, the enemy countered, right? He's always there to counter what the Lord is doing. But no matter what the enemy would do, the Lord would still, he'd make his moves. He would never give up. The game's not over. The game's been being played for thousands and thousands of years. Well, sometimes the enemy, it looks like the Lord is in check. You know what I'm saying? You know chess? It looks like, wow, it just seems like this is really bad. Look at the world situation. Look at this. Look at that. It seems like the enemy may be winning. But actually, it's just check. You wait. We know who's going to win the whole thing. The Lord uses this to display his wisdom. You know, you just think about, the day will come, it'll be checkmate. And the enemy is over, and he's thrown in the lake of fire. That's it. He, you know, it's all over. But in the meantime, in another sense, you know, I remember hearing one time, Brother Lee was talking, he was in another city, and he was sharing something, and he was saying, "Praise the Lord for the flesh. Praise the Lord for the flesh." You remember that, Terry? And some of us were young ones, and we thought, "What is he? What's wrong? What happened? That's crazy." And so we headed off. We were in a big Greyhound bus from Houston. We drove all the way to Chicago to be in this conference, and it was so awesome. Eventually, he said this. He said, "One day, we'll say, little flesh, thank you." You know, the flesh has been invaded by the evil one. He's got into our flesh, and the sin is working in all of us. But eventually, one day we'll say, little flesh, thank you. You've been so helpful to me, so useful. You've caused me to gain so much God. Now, go to the lake of fire. I don't need you anymore. Anyway, in the meantime, the enemy causes us, in his dealing with us, to turn to the Lord again and again. You remember the one who the Lord said, "He who's forgiven much loves much." If you sin and you're forgiven, what happens? You're so thankful the Lord forgave me again and again and again, and we keep coming back to the Lord again and again, and we gain so much God, right, Spencer? Amen. Amen. Why aren't you on the front row, brother? What are you doing back there? Okay, never mind. Okay, that's all I can say on that one. Okay, we got to go on. Let me come back to that one. What's the best way to exercise our spirit? Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, the best way I don't like to say a best way, but I would say a really good way is just to pray. You know, when you start talking to the Lord, basically what you're doing is you're exercising your spirit. You're turning from yourself, and you're turning to another part of your being. You're turning to the Lord. You know, to call on the Lord and to pray to the Lord is an exercise of your spirit. That's why when you're with someone and you're in the Word together, it really helps to pray. You can do a lot of things, but it's not until you pray that you sense there's something really wonderful going on here. And I've been with some new ones, and you know, as soon as they pray, they just get filled up. It's a good way to exercise your spirit. Another way, I would say, is really big, and that is in singing. Singing is so helpful. I remember recently I was reading something, and actually I was sharing it in the class, in the training on the God-ordained way. And some ones came to Brother Lee and asked him about how they had some ones that they wanted to help them on calling on the Lord. And so these ones that came to him, they asked him, they said, well, you know what we did? We prepared something. We looked over all the verses about calling on the Lord and all the different benefits, the points related to calling on the Lord. And we went ahead of time with these new ones, some new ones. And you know what? The more we talked about it, it seemed like the more they kind of backed off. They weren't open. We were trying to help them. And I like Brother Lee's response. It was surprising to me. He said, oh, you should have never done that. How about that one? What would you say to that? No, he said, you know, the best way to help ones in the matter of calling on the Lord is to sing. What? No, shouldn't you just show them the points and show them in the Word? Well, that's not bad, but he said the best way is what? To sing. Our brother Key mentioned this morning. Hallelujah, singing. He says that's the help. It brings them into it unveils the matter of singing and brings them into it, you know, automatically. Just ushers them into calling. And I would say in a lot of, you know, why do we sing? You know, singing without even thinking about it, it brings you what? You start exercising. When you exercise your whole being, you know what comes out? Your spirit. If you sing with just your mouth, well, you may not, nothing may happen. But I've been with some, they've been in appointments in the Word, maybe a little Bible study, but you get them into a gathering where they start singing, all of a sudden, boom, they found their spirit. And they just got filled to the brim. Does that make sense? So anyway, singing helps bring us to the Spirit. Amen. It's a big thing. Anyway, we'll see that again some more tonight, actually. How should brothers treat sisters? Ooh. And vice versa. Sisters, how should you treat brothers? Well, you treat brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters in the Lord. I think some, you know, it's to me, it's a kind of a shameful thing that you'd be walking along and someone's looking at you, a brother or sister, and you don't say hello to them. You know, do you know what I'm saying? If you know someone, you kind of grew up, you're in the church life together, and here's a brother, here's a sister, why wouldn't you say hello? What if you just keep your head down, just ignore? Do you like that? That's not normal. Come on. Amen. That is not normal. We're human beings. You have to say hello to one another. And when you say hello, give them Christ. But I would say this, I'd qualify all this by this. That is, there should be no attention to one above another. You know what I'm saying? If you're like, oh, I got to go say hello to that sister. And then the next time, oh, that sister. Yeah, I'm just saying hello. Yeah, and you're saying hello to that one sister all the time. What does that tell you? Something's cooking. But what's normal is we love everybody. We love all the brothers. We love all the sisters. We just take care of everyone the same. We're members one of another. Amen? Amen? Anyway, that's enough on that. I don't want to get too stirred up. Okay. What spiritual advice would you give that you've received that's been a help to you? Well, I'll share some more on that tomorrow. But I will say one little line that really helped me years ago. Benson told me this. And it really, it touched me. It stuck with me. And I was about your age. And he said, Ken, he said, everything living responds to care. He said, animals respond to care. Plants respond to care. And human beings respond to care. Then he said, go take care of the young people. Just care. He didn't qualify. He didn't tell me how, this or that. But it really stirred in me. Just go take care of them. Eventually, you learn how to take care of others. But the main thing is to realize when you take care of others, they respond to care. If it's a normal life, if you love a little doggy, that little doggy, you love it, is that dog going to run when you come in the room? They respond to care. And I've seen it again and again throughout my whole life, again and again. All the ones that you take care of, when you care for them, they respond to that. Anyway, I'll get into that some more tomorrow. If someone asks you what denomination you're from, how should you answer that? Okay, Ben Sargent, what do you say? I'll just keep it real simple. When someone asks you that, I just tell them, I just meet whatever city I'm in. If I'm in, you know, Los Angeles, I'm just a believer. I meet as the church in Los Angeles. And I don't try to dwell on it that much. I just say, you know, like they did in the New Testament, they just met as the church in that city. Because the church in that city included all the believers. So I like that. I like to just, wherever. Are you in Berkeley? Well, I just meet as the church in Berkeley. Why? There's nothing unusual about that. That's what they did in the New Testament. It's easy. It's good to say that, right? That's what they did. They met as a church in that city and it included all the believers in that city. When we say we meet as a church as the church in Berkeley, doesn't that include all the believers? Amen. Absolutely includes all the believers. Now, all the believers may not meet with us, but that's okay. We're meeting as a church in Berkeley. Why? Because that's what they did, and it takes care of our conscience because we love all the believers, and the church includes all the believers. Amen. So, anyway, that's a long way of saying it. Do some caterpillars take more time to become butterflies than others? Yes. Really, I mean, I think we've all seen, you know, some it's like, I don't know why it's different with some. You know, you make a mistake and you make choices. And those choices can prolong the Lord, but the Lord is still going to win. You may take a detour. You know, you go your way, and it's not the Lord's way. But you know what? Even your mistakes, your wrong decisions, the Lord will still use them to what? Make you a caterpillar. I remember one time I was working, a butterfly, not a caterpillar. Thanks. I remember one time I was working somewhere. I had a good job. And then there was an opportunity to work with some brothers. And to me, it was a lower job. And I just thought, I can't do it. No way. It wasn't even worth thinking about, except for the fact that there's brothers, and I love all these brothers. And I just said no, and I told my wife, I can't do it. Well, oh, no, I'm mixing this up. I'm sorry. No, one time, I saw an opportunity for another job. This is when I was young, just married. And I saw an opportunity for a job that paid more than what I had. And I'm really kind of telling them, I was working with the brothers. Eventually, I got to work with the brothers. But then I saw another opportunity to make some more money. And I realized, oh, I need to do this. And then I went to the brother to fellowship, actually to fellowship. I went to them, you know, I'm going to fellowship with the brothers. Okay, Terry, I just want to let you know, da-da-da-da-da. And I wanted his stamp of approval. And you know what he did? He says, he said, well, amen. Yeah, whatever you feel. And he didn't say no. He didn't say anything. He just, yeah, whatever you feel. Yeah, amen. That was Don Looper I was with too. And so I did it. And I knew all along there was a big shaking of the head of the Lord. No, but I did it anyway. You know what? That was a good experience. Okay. You think it may have slowed down the process. I could have been with the brothers and joined him every day. But you know what? I went into hell in that job. It was the worst month of my life. I spent 1 month there and I ran back to the brothers. But that 1 month was horrible. I couldn't, the Lord used it. You know, I had my way. I did what I wanted and it was not what I expected. And in the end, I think the Lord still got a little bit more of the butterfly in me, even though, you know, I seem to have wasted the Lord's time. Okay, what kind? Okay, I'll hold on. Maybe think. How do you get into the habit? Oh, Ben will do this one tonight. This is how do you get into the habit of reading the Bible by yourself? Amen. Ben, you gonna get that? Okay. When you don't feel like exercising your spirit in meetings, should you open your mouth anyway? But sometimes it seems very fake doing so. You know, like you're just opening your mouth in empty words. Well, I like this. Let me just show you a couple verses real quick. Again, I think even Ben may answer this one tonight. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 5, is that what you're thinking? Yeah, amen, Brother William. We're one spirit here. Here it says, it talks about be filled in spirit, okay? Be filled in spirit. Isn't that a good one? Let's all say that. Be filled in spirit. If you feel like it. No, it just says, be filled in spirit. Okay, you're in a meeting. Should you be filled in spirit this evening? But what if you don't feel like it? You've been out playing basketball. I watched the brothers today. Hallelujah. There's one David. Who was that David that I was talking to? Was that you? Yeah. He knew what to do with the basketball, I noticed. Some of the others did too, but anyway. How did I get off on that? Anyway. Oh, yeah. So you may be tired. You may not feel like. Do you feel like getting filled up, David? Should you be filled in spirit right now? Aren't you tired? Yeah.
Yes, I should.
Amen. Okay. In the Word, it says, be filled in spirit. Then it says this. Speaking to one another in psalms. To one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Now, be filled in spirit speaking. Now, what is it talking about? Does that mean you get filled in spirit and then when you speak, because you're filled in spirit, you speak to one another in psalms and hymns? Is that what it sounds like? I think it's true. If you're filled in spirit, what happens? If you're filled in spirit, if David is filled in spirit, he will speak. Amen. He'll speak. He'll just overflow, right? There's an overflow when we're full of the Lord. But, even it mentions in the footnote, on the other hand, what happens? It's also the way to be filled. Be filled in spirit. How? Just speak. Open your mouth. Praise. Give thanks. It's hard not to be filled in spirit it's hard to not be filled in spirit if your mouth is open. You may think, oh, it's fake. But listen, it's not fake. The Lord knows. He's working on you. You may be faking it, but listen, do it anyway. The Bible says, be filled in spirit, doing what? How? Speaking. Speak to one another in psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, right? Singing, psalming with your heart to the Lord. I would say listen, don't fake it. You don't feel like it? When you exercise to sing, listen, do it to the Lord. Don't just sing, pay attention to the words. You'll get filled up. One little line can just give life to your being. So, you know, don't go through the routine. In fact, I would say do all the time, saints, any gathering you're in, don't be there in a religious way. Don't you hate just outward forms, outward rituals? Don't do anything in a performance way. Get to the Lord. If I'm going to sing, I'm going to sing with my whole being. And if I sing with my whole being, you know what? I will get filled up. And so will you. Amen. Just forget about everything else. You know, forget about whether, you know, I've been in situations where you realize, I've got to pray. What do you do? Well, just do it genuinely. Really pray. Okay, that's the cross. That's okay. It's resurrection. All right. Ben, you have something you want to share? How do I know if I should go to the training, that if it's the right time, and if my being is ready to receive the maximum benefit? if you wait for the maximum benefit, I just don't know if you ever know when's the maximum benefit. I just say you just have to be in fellowship with some older brothers, some ones that have some wisdom. They've been around a while. Stay in a fellowship. Follow the feeling you have between you and the Lord and stay in fellowship. I mean, one thing that does happen a lot, and that is you get a lot of input from different ones, and it's easy to get confused. And in fact, you can even be affected by your parents to a strong extent. And even that, you realize from the Lord, to follow the Lord, we need to leave father and mother, brother and sister. So, to really follow after Him, He's worthy of our everything. So don't let just the parents, decisions or their will to be exercised on you. And I'm not saying to dishonor them. I'm just saying the real honor to them is that you would give yourself to the Lord and follow the Lord, right? Sometimes there's situations where you have to take care of the family. It's just, there's no other choice. Part of the situation is your environment. That governs, what you should do. But mainly, take care of the feeling between you and the Lord and in a good fellowship with the body. Okay? I think I got that. Okay, Ben, why don't you take care of it? Okay. Some of them are related to the campus. And then I have some more fellowship, if we have time, related to brothers and sisters and marriage and all that stuff. Those are the questions that you didn't ask. I know, because I get them everywhere. So I know you have some of them. Does that mic work right there? Does Ben need to use that?
Yeah, you can.
Or did you want to go?
No.
Terry, you have?
Well, I just have a couple quick responses. Obviously, I'm not too much older than you, and these are some things that I've recently enjoyed a lot, though. One question asks, when I have personal time with the Lord, sometimes my mind gets busy and it becomes hard to focus. What should I do? And actually, this question, or this kind of concern was brought up maybe earlier this year. An older brother shared something. And there's a term that some of us may not have heard much. It was used a little while ago, not as frequently today, but it was called morning watch. Has anyone heard that? The phrase morning watch? Okay. You have heard the phrase morning revival, though, right? Hallelujah. Morning revival. Well, when this was spoken for the first time, actually there was a distinction between the two, believe it or not. And what morning watch referred to was the study of the truth. Some of us use the daily devotional called the Holy Word for morning revival, and there's a couple verses at the top, and then there's a ministry portion. Well, we might want to consider the study and just the perusing of that text down there and cross-referencing as morning watch. Whereas there's a key to morning revival, and that key is that you get revived, okay? If you're not full of life by the time you finish what you consider your morning time, there's a problem. And this questioner has spoken for all of us. Things come in, don't they? Things come in. You know, you go get a cup of coffee, and you just lose the Lord's presence. Or, what is that word? You pull out your dictionary or your thesaurus, or you skip around 10 times across the entire text of the Bible. Well, here's just a simple help. Okay, here's a simple help. There's a couple things that we assuredly have, okay? We have the Lord's name. Hallelujah, the Lord's name. We have a human spirit. Hallelujah. We have the Word of God, but even specifically, we have just a couple verses. Amen. Every morning we have a couple verses. And lastly, we have 10 minutes. And this is a big help, I think. If you consider your morning revival, His name, engaging your spirit, reading not too much more than a couple of verses, and even allotting yourself just 10 minutes, I guarantee you this will revolutionize your morning time. There just won't even be the room for so much else to come in. And I don't know. I don't know if that helps you, but that really helped me recently. another question asked, what is the most crucial thing in preaching the gospel on the college campuses as a student in the church life? one thing that I would suggest is to change your name, to never consider it preaching the gospel. Not change your personal name, sorry. I would suggest not calling it preaching the gospel. Don't get me wrong here, but what I'm getting at is that there's a certain connotation, isn't there? I'm going out to preach the gospel, you know, with sword in hand and defeat anyone who has an atheist thought, or, you know. But another suggestion along with this is to consider it going out to speak with people. This will be, actually, even though it sounds so minor, this will make a drastic difference, is that if your time on campus, and what I'm talking about here is a time where you go out to speak with people. Backtracking, I'd say the best is just to speak with your friends. I say start there. Start to the ones that have a rapport with you, that are open to you. Just share a little bit of Christ with them. But in times going out to campus, just consider it talking to people. You know what happens? Is you remove the ground for any kind of discouragement, and I'd say unattainable expectations or setting the bar too high. Maybe no one calls on the Lord's name with you. But you know what you just did? You spoke to some people. You ministered a little bit of the Lord to you. You saved yourself. You deposited something of faith into them. That's preaching the gospel. Amen. Amen. And actually, one last thing that I always appreciated was what the Apostle Paul called his gospel in Ephesians 3:8. He said that his gospel was to preach to announce the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. To me, less than the least of all saints, this grace was given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. As the gospel. Amen. What was his definition of the gospel? To share unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. And along with that, I guess, is how do you explain to non-believers that God is real and that the Bible is his words and not just the prophets or the apostles? And, you know, I love this kind of question, and it's one that I wish I had the answer to in the way that the questioner is asking it, which is we could approach it in the way of, you know, manuscript evidence. I tell you, the evidence is astounding. All the copies over the years that back up one another. Then you could approach it in the way of, wow, 66 books in the Bible. And yet, if you put them all together and if you study it with an open mind, they all speak the same thing. They back each other up. Okay, that's one side to approach it. You can get deep into that. You know, you could spend your entire life getting into something like that. But this question asks, how do you explain to a non-believer? And I hope that our heart would be that there is a seeking after reality in every person, whether they consider themselves an atheist, agnostic, any label that they have for themselves. There is a seeking. There is a God-shaped vacuum. God has placed eternity in man's heart. And we have the Word as our God speaking. This is what we have as our capital. But you know what both God is and what the Word is? both God and the Word are spirit. Because John 4:24 says that God is spirit. And Ephesians 6 says, which spirit is? The Word of God. And just in my really short, limited experience, I've never convinced anybody that God is real and that the Bible is the Word of God with my mind. That has never happened in my life. I've never convinced anyone. But on the other hand, I've led some to the Lord by touching, having them touch their spirit. In the Word, though, it's the Word that is the written Word of God. Christ is the living Word of God. When you put the two together, and even tonight, this is just look forward to this. When you put the written Word with the living Word and touch the Spirit and strike the Word with the Spirit, there's no one that's, don't think anyone's out of reach with that faith. No one is out of that faith boundary. No one can hide from that. You know, no one is too smart. No one is above that. And just lastly, how do you know when you are using your will to do good rather than having God do the good in you? Well, one thing I had mentioned it about the labor, the kinds of labor. One of them is the labor to be a good person. And this is not an answer, but I think it's a good indicator when the source of good is the good self. And the indicator is that will become the heaviest burden you've ever felt. To try to be a charitable person, to try to be a kind person, certainly the fragrance of that is not sweet. It's not pleasant, and it's distasteful to bear such a burden. So we need to come to the Lord. You know, His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. And one other thing is that actually what the Lord has mercy on us many a time is that when we are in the wrong realm, when the good is just out from us, then the Lord has mercy for us to fail. And just I just love Romans 7 and Romans 8, because Romans 7 is Paul in his natural self. And he could do a lot of things and succeed outwardly. And there was something finally that got to him. And that was nothing outward, but it was the covetousness that was deep inside of him. And that was what the Lord had mercy on, to kind of prick him. The good that you think is good, you can't make it. Anyway, the only good is God. Hallelujah.
To go along with that as additional support, I always like John 6:57. You're familiar with that? Where the Lord says, the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. And this goes back to that word, those two words I really like, automatic and spontaneous. Let's all say that, automatic.
Automatic.
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
You know what's you know how to automatically and spontaneously live Christ? Amen. What's your name? Oh yeah, you're Youngin. Yeah, he brought his own ping pong paddle. Hallelujah. Youngin. He's a youngin. I like that. Anyway, youngin is right. If you eat the Lord, what did the Lord say? He who eats me, it doesn't say he might. He may live because of me. No, he says, he who eats me shall live because of me. Just like, you know, that lunch was good. All that you ate, you begin to live by that, right? That's how David did well on the basketball court. He had all the energy. It came from the chicken and the rice and all the things he was eating, right? We eat and we live by what we eat, spontaneous, automatically. So don't get in the realm of right and wrong, good and evil. Sometimes we do things and we do realize, like Ben said, we realize, oh, I've got to say this. You know, this brother, he mentioned one time, he said, on one hand, when we speak in the meetings, you know what? We shouldn't speak unless we have the assurance that we have the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, now that sounds right. We don't want you to speak unless you have the assurance you're giving us the Spirit, right? But then on the other hand, he said, on the other hand, you need to speak anyway. And here's the reason. He said, if you speak, you'll find out where you are. See, and you'll find out, you'll realize, oh my, I'm so short. And it'll cause you to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need more of you. Amen. You see what I'm saying? He said, if you don't speak, you know what happens? You think you can speak in the meeting. Right, David? Can you speak in the meeting? Yes. Everybody remind him later. Okay. Anyway. If you don't speak, all of a sudden you just think, yeah, I can do it. And then you just start looking at everybody. And you're just there like someone in the grandstand. You know, what do they call it? A backseat quarterback? Or no, that's not what they call it. The armchair quarterback, you know, watching football. Oh, yeah, I saw what they did. That quarterback should have done this and should have done that. Oh, look at, yeah, the running back took the wrong hold. You know, and you just sit there and you just criticize everybody. You know better. That's what happens if you don't speak. That's a danger, right? You just sit there and look at everybody. Yeah, that brother, not enough spirit. Oh, yeah. That was the spirit meter. You know, oh, a little bit of spirit, a lot of spirit. You know, oh, yeah. That was a 7 on a scale of 10, you know. Or you think, oh, that was a home run. Oh, that was just a single. Oh, he struck out on that one. You know, you're just thinking these things. Anyway, don't be like that, you know. We have to speak because we find out where we are and we realize, Lord, I need you. Okay. What was I talking about? Where was I? Okay. Let me go back to, I have some burden to mention a couple of things. And I thought I would just use a testimony. And this is I just want to share a little bit related to marriage and the boy-girl relationships and this kind of thing. And I think the best thing to do is just give a testimony. And I really like in Matthew, this really impressed me because this is my experience when I came to the church life. I was young. I was loving the Lord. I saw something special, unbelievable, that this is where Christ is moving on the earth to you know, he's getting a stepping stone on the earth for him to come back. I love the church. And I realize the church is also the way for the Lord to bring in his kingdom. And like the Lord, you know, asked us to pray, I was praying, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. This to me was a big thing. I can still remember taking walks and saying, Lord, I love you. You know, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Get what you need on the earth for you to come back. Bring in your kingdom. Anyway, I was eating up with the Lord and with the Lord building up the church and bringing in his kingdom. And all of a sudden, boop, it's time to get married. I didn't invent it. It just, the Lord brought it in, and you realize, uh-oh, it's time. I wasn't seeking getting married. I was enjoying the Lord too much. I was loving the Lord, loving the brothers, loving the church. Then all of a sudden, bing, you know, I don't know how to say it. It just happened. When you go back and look at the Word, you realize there's something that the Lord said that matches my experience. And that's in Matthew chapter 6. And here he says, do not be anxious for your life. Do not be anxious. What you should eat, what you should drink, for your body, what you should put on. Is not the life more than food and the body than clothing? He's really talking about anything that you need. David, do you need to get married? Yes. Not right now. I have another verse. Yeah. Okay. I have another verse for you. In Ecclesiastes, this is for him and for all of you. In Ecclesiastes, it says, to everything, there is a season. David, to everything, there is a season. Okay. Is it the season? I don't think so. Anyway, the Lord knows. You see, we don't even know. But there's a season. There's a time to reap. There's a time to sow. There's a time to get married. There's a time not to be married. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. You go back and look at Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything under the sun. Anyway, there's a time. And you don't want to go against the Lord in this. This is a big thing, the matter of who you marry. And I don't say this to get you all stirred up, you know, thinking about what am I going to wear at the wedding. You know, just don't do that. But I want you to not be anxious. What I really want is all of you to what? Let me get to the verse. Okay, the Lord says, look at the birds of heaven. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father nourishes them. Are you not of more value than them? Tell your neighbor, you're of value. Yeah, you're more value than the birds, right? And then he goes on, he says, why are you anxious concerning clothing? Consider well the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin thread. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. You know, even one of these. And if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is cast in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. Amen. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, you know, or what you shall be clothed. For all these things, listen to this, all these things, the Gentiles are anxiously seeking. Isn't this what happens? Isn't this what the Gentiles are anxiously seeking? All of mankind is seeking certain things. Then he says this, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Your heavenly Father knows. Just tell the Lord, Lord, you know. Amen. The Lord knows what you have need of. But here's the verse 33. But what? Seek first his kingdom. Let's all declare that. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. All these things. David, do you need a wife? Yes. Not right now. No. But don't be anxious. He knows. He knows you have need of these things. You know, they will be added to you. They will. Let's all say that. They will. The Bible says it. You say it. The Bible says it. I believe it. So, that's it. So what's the key in this verse? Seek first his kingdom. Listen, don't trust in your decisions. If you're not seeking the kingdom, it's concerning to me. What you do, your choices. We've seen too many make decisions in this big matter of their spouse. And you know what? They bring on themselves a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. We've seen it again and again and again. Seek first the kingdom. Well, that's what I was doing. I was seeking first the kingdom, and then all of a sudden, bing, it's time. And then all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden my eyes are open. Who do I go for? Which one? Well, a brother gave me a little bit of advice. He said, go after someone that's attractive to you, but mainly go after someone who is loving the Lord, the one that's the most hot for the Lord. So I looked around, and that's what I got to me. I got the attractive one, the one that was most burning, most crazy for the Lord. And anyway, listen to what happened. It's so amazing. Just seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added to you. This could happen. I was in a meeting about this size, you know, and I was getting ready to leave, and there was a room where they had washing machines where the baptistry, near the baptistry, when they were washing clothes, my wife and another one, she wasn't my wife then, sister, her and another sister. And she was looking at me across the room, and I'm getting ready to leave the meeting. And this is her story, and she's got a witness. She said, she saw me leave it, and she said out loud, she said, don't leave. Don't leave until you come over here and volunteer to help me move tomorrow. And she was moving. And all of a sudden, she said, I went for the door handle, and I stopped, and I walked around, and I went in the room where she was, and I checked with her to see if she needed help moving tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? It happened. I helped her move. Well, I got to know her a little bit. Another thing happened. It was before that. I lived with some brothers, and actually a family was there. And I came home, and for dinner there was my wife, there was this sister, Kathy Rockwood. And there was somebody else. She had brought someone there for dinner. And she didn't do this intentionally. She was on the campus preaching the gospel, and she didn't want to do it, so she hid in the cafeteria. All of them were preaching the gospel, and she saw a watch on the table. Someone had left their watch on the table, and she says, "Okay, Lord, I'll talk to this person when he comes back to get his watch, or when they come back, I'll say something to them about the Lord." Well, sure enough, someone came back, and they, you know, had a little conversation. Next thing you know, she's inviting him over to our house where the couple had a meal with everybody. Well, it turns out that was my cousin. And I looked at him and said, "Terry, what are you doing here?" He said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, she brought me." "Who's she?" "Kathy Rockwood." "Oh." Just a little sovereign arrangement. Next thing you know, for some reason, when people left, they all left us in the living room by ourselves. And we had some conversation, we talked, we got to know one another a little bit more, and next thing you know, things start happening. This must have been after the come back here to the room and help me move. Anyway, it didn't take long. We fell in love. I asked her to marry me. And then listen, I didn't have to know. I don't know, some may not agree with me. You know, I don't know, Terry Bartag may have a different fellowship. I really don't know. He may say, "You got to spend a year and a half, 2 years to get to know someone for sure." I don't know. I'm from years ago. And if you're clear before the Lord, you know, you just got married pretty quick. We went to fellowship with the brothers, and one brother said, "What you do, do quickly." So that's scripture. That's a word, you know. Of course, it's the Lord talking to Judas. But anyway, they said that to us. Anyway, so okay, I guess this is good. I guess, you know, so everything started rolling. But listen, you know, you don't know what you're going to get involved with. When you marry someone, you marry their family. You don't think that's true? There's something to that, right? But that's not something to me you have to... I don't know. You don't have to consider that so much. Oh, yeah, they're different this way. Their culture's that. Listen, my wife, I had no idea who I was marrying. You know, because when we got married, the first thing that happened, you know, or before we got married, her parents came to Houston and stayed at a hotel, and the first thing my mother-in-law said to me, our future mother-in-law, she was there. She looked at me and she said, "You marry my daughter, and I'll be the biggest battle axe of a mother-in-law you've ever seen in your life." Now, what would you do? See you later. What am I getting into? You know, maybe I need to reconsider. The next thing she said to me, she looked at me, she said, "Money makes the world go round." And she knew I didn't have money, so that's why she said that. And then the next day, her father took me out to eat at a restaurant, and he pulled out a checkbook. Okay, how about, and he mentioned this large sum of money just to postpone the wedding. And I said, I can't tell you what I said because I was in glory. I was seeking first the kingdom. Everything was being added. I was just enjoying the Lord. The Lord takes care of everything. All I know is I said no, and I didn't discuss it. It's just, that's the way it is. Same thing with her mother. You know, when she said, "Money makes the world go round." Amen. Whatever you say. I don't even know what I said. I don't think I said anything. Anyway, all these things can be coming at you. But listen, if the Lord, you have to believe all these things will be added to you. Just seek first the kingdom. You know, I mean, our story is like a movie almost, you know, because it got so bad where we had to elope. I'm one of those who eloped. You know what that means? That means you get the paper signed and you get out of town as soon as you can. Because my in-laws had hired a private detective and got into, you know, my history and my parents' history, and they had someone follow me around. And so that's why they knew no money here. My daughter needs money, you know. And plus, you have to realize they come from that background. They come from a New Orleans uptown culture where money makes the world go round. And that's the life they were living. But I had no idea. And then, so they found out. They even came to a church meeting, the detective. Ended up, got himself invited to the home we both ate lunch at that day. We found the report in her father's desk of all the things that happened, the report, you know, what the discussion that went on at the table at that meeting in Houston. Anyway, they knew everything. Then, okay, we realized she is going to cause a big trouble at the wedding. So we realized we got to move it up. So we moved it up a couple days, and we had, my parents were there, her brother and his wife, and some of the, you know, Joe Davis and some others, you know, were there. And we signed the papers. We had a good little time of dinner together. And then we got in the car and we headed off to Colorado for a honeymoon. But even the elopement they knew about. And the only thing that kept us from that being disturbed was Kathy's mom's sister wouldn't give her the keys to the car, and she was trying to get there to break up the wedding, even the elopement. So there's a lot of things going on. But you know what? We got married. We got married. We have 5 children. We got grandkids. It's all okay. Listen, seek first the kingdom. That's all I can say. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. I don't know about all that tribulation. Don't expect the worst, you know what I mean? But He knows how to add to you all the things that you need. Probably for us, this is what we needed. Because you know what? Her mother kept her promise. I'll be the biggest battle axe. She caused us to gain so much of Christ. Again and again and again and again. We gained a lot of God through her mother-in-law. So anyway, maybe I'm saying too much here related to all this. But here's one thing I would say. In all your going on together, one thing I'll say to the sisters. Sisters, don't trust the brothers. They're just animals. They're just in a certain sense, you know. We know they love the Lord, they have the Lord in them, but don't trust their natural man. And brothers, a pretty smiling, lovely sister, don't trust the smile either. Right? David, be careful. Yeah. just use David. He represents all of you, right? Because I've seen situations where you have a brother. You know, he's going along, he's pursuing the Lord, he's loving the Lord, but then there's this one sister caught his fancy. You know, he kind of got attracted, and she was a good little talker. She was, you know, she could hold good conversation. She was pretty, very attractive, and he just fell for it. He realized, man, this is the Lord. You know, this is the Lord, and he fellowship, and we realized, what? What's going on? Is it really the right time? Is this... Here's the question I had. The question is, that sister, we never saw her exercise to pray, to speak, to do anything related to the Lord. She just was in the meetings looking good. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with being in the meetings looking good. It's just, you know, that's okay. But, you know, when they begin to pursue each other, he just didn't see. He didn't see the real situation. Because he was an excellent brother. Awesome. Well, she wanted him. She got him. They got married. And after 1 month, it was over. 1 month. All it took was he realized, you know, oh, let's go to the meeting. She said, no, let's just stay here by the fireplace and watch TV, this and that. And again, you know, he tried to accommodate her, this and that and the other, but he realized she is not interested in the Lord at all. So eventually the thing just fell apart. It was over. Anyway, it looks like this is a warning. So I say this, brothers, when you're looking for a sister, and sisters, when you're looking for a brother, you need to look. This is just my opinion, okay? This is a little bit of opinion. My advice and opinion is pursue someone who you see is someone who is denying their self. How do you know? Usually someone who's denying their self, they're exercising to love the Lord. They're exercising to pray. They speak for the Lord. You know, they have a relationship with the Lord. They're denying themselves. And if they're denying themselves now while they're single, you know what? Youngin, when you get married to her, the right one, you know what? She'll deny herself for you because she's practiced. The problem with this one example, which have been many of like that, they never denied themselves. They never gave up themselves. You know, why would I pray? I mean, I would have to give up myself. Why would I coordinate together? I'd have to give up myself. If you don't give up yourself, you're not getting prepared for marriage. Brothers, you're in the brother's house. You have to give up yourself a lot. Forget about yourself. Gain the Lord. Get to the Lord again and again and again. You know what, sisters? You want a brother like that. If they give up themselves now while they're single, what will they be for you? They're right for you. They're willing to give up everything for you. They'll deny themselves again and again. You want the paper towels coming out the top instead of the bottom? It's okay. You know, you don't mind. I mean, so these are the kind of things you don't know. The toilet paper needs to go over the top or the back side. I mean, my wife and I, we do not agree on this. And we can't change each other's mind. This has gone on for 35 years now. Sorry. But you know what? You learn to deny yourself. Forget about what I want. What about her? She's one who squeezed the toothpaste in the middle. I can't stand. Why would you do that? Why would you squeeze it in the middle? Then I have to come along and squeeze the bag and move it all up. You know what I mean? Anyway, I just say that because now's the time to learn the lessons. Practice denying yourself, going along with the other person, and just being happy in the Lord. Okay? But this goes back to, brothers, just sisters, seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added to you. You can trust the Lord. I remember my daughter, one of my daughters, her name is Bethany, and she went to UT Arlington. Then she went to the full-time training in Anaheim. She was there for 2 years. And she told me, she said, Dad, don't worry. She says, I believe the Lord has someone for me. I believe. Don't worry. And I appreciate so much her experience because she was a person who continued to pursue the Lord, love the Lord, to serve the Lord. And you know what? Time went on, and I just had to tell the Lord, Lord, what about this? What about Matthew? She's seeking first the kingdom. Where's the adding of a husband? Well, the Lord knows what we all need. Time went on. Well, this last year, she's 29 years old. Guess what happened? He came along. Finally. And actually, I agonized over it, and it caused me and my wife. We had to pray a lot. We just prayed. We just felt for her. She needs a husband. She needs a husband. Lord, where is he? You know, wake him up. You know, open his eyes. You know, she's a treasure. Well, we gained a lot of the Lord out of that, and the Lord knows what we need to go through. But the Lord, at the right time, it was the right season. She got married last year to a Kiwi. Hallelujah. Anthony Pierce from Christchurch, New Zealand. Now that's where she lives, and the church life there, wonderful. Who could have ever dreamed? Okay, then one other thing I would just say real quick, this may be hard to hear, but this is the Bible, and this is kind of a something very practical. And that is, with the sisters and with the brothers, there's a couple of verses. In 1 Corinthians 7:1, it says this, "It's good for a man not to touch a woman." And this seems very, what? This is really old-fashioned. This is the Bible. Don't touch. Brothers, don't touch. Then it turns around and related to the sisters. In 1 Timothy 2:9 says, he says that women should adorn themselves in proper clothing, in modesty and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold and pearls or costly clothing. And there's two things here that this helps us see. And that is, brothers, touch stirs up the sisters. Sisters, your appearance stirs up the brothers, how you dress. So I'm not trying to give you advice on how to get at the ones, but listen, this is to avoid. Brothers, don't touch, and sisters, be dress properly. You can stir up ones that you don't want to stir up. And brothers, you need to be careful. Don't touch. And this is just the word. But there's a reason. He knew this is the makeup of the human beings. And so there's a time for everything. And actually, there's another thing. This matter of flirting. I've seen it where there's among the saints. And it's just kind of ugly. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see this kind of flirting. I can still remember seeing a sister lining herself up at a conference, you know, for a brother coming by. And then he's going another direction. She's there again. And then they converse. And next thing you know, this is going on and on and on. Well, I just say a word to the brothers. First, if a sister's doing that, if they're going after you, pursuing you, instead of you pursuing her, what does that tell you? You think you're the only one she's doing that to? Maybe, but you know, no. I mean, it's just, for them to be that bold, they've probably done it with some others. And sisters, if a brother is, you know, going after you at the wrong time, the wrong season, don't think you're the only one. You like to think it is, but listen, it may be their practice. It may be their way of life. It may be their habits, you know. So that's why I say don't trust the natural man. Don't trust the fallen man in one another. You need to be clear. And the best way to be clear is what? Seek first the kingdom. Let's all say that. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And his righteousness. Amen. And all these things will be added to you. And then, you know, another thing to be aware of, I hate to even talk about it, but, you know, the media twists the thinking of society. You see the media, and it makes everything sound like it's okay. Fornication is okay. Living with someone before you get married, that's normal, right? Well, more and more, this is the norm in society, especially in European countries. You know, you live with someone before you get married to find out if it's okay, it's right. And everybody thinks it's okay. Listen, it's not okay. It's never been okay. But society and the media has made it again and again. It's been pounded into us. It comes at you in every direction. It's normal. Actually, it's the fun way of life. You know, the TV shows, they're full of this. And they're just promoting it, making it look so wonderful. It's awesome, you see. This is what they do. This is the enemy behind the scenes. There's a system to cause you to think a different way. The other thing is related to homosexuality and immorality. Listen, it's all okay. It's all okay. Everything okay. Anything that's bad is okay. Anything that's proper is, man, that's the dark ages. These are, you know, anyway, just be aware. Don't let this age, it's a current in this age. We're being flooded with this kind of thought. That's why we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need new thoughts to realize, Lord, I love you. I love your ordination. I trust that you'll give me the right one at the right time as I seek you and I love you and I'm one with you and one with one another. Anyway, that's about all I can say, brothers.
And it's, how do you get into the habit of reading the Bible by yourself daily? And actually, I have a one-word answer. Schedule. Okay? And according to what I said yesterday, I want to balance that. I said that to consider a prayer to the Lord, Lord, make me healthy. Lord, make me one that can care for others. Without reading the Word is what? Superstitious. But you know what? To think that you can read the Word with just a prayer like that is also superstitious. So that's the balance there. And you know, one thing that we have here is, it's very simple. It's a checkbox. And this is just at UCLA. We kind of set out this year to, in 3 quarters, finish the New Testament, reading about 1 chapter each day. Not too hard, right? And some of you might have something like this. There's a website, I believe, that was made by the brothers in Atlanta called lettheword.com, I think. Is it Read His Word? Readhisword.com, okay. And two different ones, okay. What's that one?
If you just want to schedule, it's readhisword.com, but if you want to get into groups and like kind of not compete, but like having, you know, like groups.
Which one is that one?
That's
lettheword.com.
Okay, we'll have to check out all the domains. one of them, like Spencer said, it actually brings in the element of accountability, which for you, if even a checkbox is coming up a little short, this is also very helpful for someone else to know that your schedule and even to pursue reading in the way of groups. And I mean, I'm sorry if this is sounding too basic, but even if this was one thing that you came away with on the side of practice, even if you don't enter into everything right away tomorrow, what if you entered into this tomorrow? This would make a world of difference. So just consider again, I need to set up a schedule. Hallelujah. So we're going to, what's that? That's right. Let's pray, Lord, make me scheduled.
Lord, make me scheduled.
I also wanted to just to be complete, I mentioned about Pray Reading 101 and 201, and I forgot 301 and 401. You know, 101 involves repeating. 201 involves some emphasizing, which the Spirit can be found in. 301 incorporates your own words. And this is the element that brings in the real sweetness. So in the morning, you open the Word and you begin to pray, oh, let. Then all of a sudden, your words come in. Lord, my heart. My heart is like a closed gate. Lord, I want to just let your word. Lord, you need to come in right now. I open my heart to you. You see that? It's to add in your own words to the prayer. And finally, you know what 401 is? We began with reading and bringing in prayer into the word. 401, you're praying. Maybe it's about yourself. Maybe you're walking to class. Maybe it's about your friend. Jonathan, Lord, I have a heart for Jonathan. I like to be a shepherd to Jonathan. And you know what? In comes the word. Let your word dwell in Jonathan richly. See that? That's 401. You turn from reading, bringing in prayer, to praying, and in comes the word. So I just love that.